1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. He was responsible for some of the most groundbreaking sitcoms in American history. Norman Lear, creator of shows like All in the Family, has died.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Bunker.
No, let me tell you something, Mr. Stivic. You are a meathead.
What did you call
me? A meathead. Dead from the neck up. Meathead.
In addition to All in the Family, Norman Lear's shows included The Jeffersons and Maude. He turned political and social turmoil of the 70s into television comedies. Norman Lear was 101. Just four candidates will be on stage tonight for the fourth Republican presidential debate. Those qualifying include Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Chris Christie. Republicans in the House saying they won't approve any more funding for the war in Ukraine. Without an immigration plan in place, the Biden administration says the funding is being held hostage. Israeli forces battling Hamas militants to Gaza, including in the south, where civilians have been told to flee. This is ABC News.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 12.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Planned Parenthood is praising a Madison judge's decision effectively restoring abortion rights in Wisconsin. A Madison judge is ruling that a Wisconsin law passed in 1849 does not ban consensual abortions. After last year's Dobbs decision, a law passed in 1849 was widely interpreted to be an abortion ban in Wisconsin, and doctors stopped performing the procedure. An appeal is expected to eventually make it to the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin's transportation secretary says Wisconsin could lose out on $78 million in federal money for electric vehicle chargers. Craig Thompson says Wisconsin law doesn't allow anyone other than a utility to sell electricity by the hour. Lawmakers are looking to update the state law next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Unseasonably warm temperatures and a lack of snow are making things difficult for local ski hills. According to a Northern News Now report, ski hills like Mont du Lac Resort had to wait longer than usual to make snow this season and are now struggling to maintain it. The general manager of Mont du Lac Resort said they've already had to use more water to make snow this season than they have in any season before, which has forced them to only open their Tubing Hill, Main Ski Run, and Bunny Hill. Wisconsin is at risk of losing more than $78 million if an old law isn't updated. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the money was awarded through the federal bipartisan infrastructure law to build a network of high-speed electric vehicle charging stations. However, Wisconsin state law prohibits the sale of electricity by the kilowatt per hour by anyone other than a public utility. Currently, there are only four high-speed level 3 chargers in Wisconsin, which can charge an EV in about 20 minutes. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Badgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled away at the end and beat the Spartans at Michigan State, the final 70-57. A.J. Storr with 22 points, Stephen Crowell with 18, including this three-pointer to put it away.
Crowell left open again. He can't miss! Stephen Crowell!
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks went into high gear, dismissed the New York Knicks 146-122. So now the Bucks advance in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. They're going to face the Pacers in Las Vegas Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, 146 points. What's that say about this team, Malik Beasley?
That we can be really good. With a playoff mentality game, it shows that we can, like I said yesterday, you never know because it was only one game instead of four games. So I'm proud of us. We start punching hard, and we made them call the first time out in the second half, so that was huge.
That's the Bucks forward, Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 43.
Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 27. Mainly sunny, tomorrow, 50. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 27.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I'm out in Phoenix, so it's nice and warm.
Oh, wow. You had to let us know, huh?
Yeah, I got to have a national board I'm on. It's having a board retreat, so I was pleasantly surprised to see December in Phoenix.
Well, let me do this. I was talking about something the first part of the show, and I don't normally do this, but because you're Dr. Craig and I know your proclivities for looking at things through the proper lens. I was talking about the different generations, Dr. Craig, and I went down the list. Generation Z, 72 million. Generation Millennials, 72.4 million. Generation X, 65.2. Baby Boomers, 76.4. Silent Generation, 55 million. And it occurred to me that while we're dealing with all of politics in our nation, that one of the biggest problems we have is not being able to break down the barriers between these different generations. And I know what you do with Citizen Action is you have a lot of those different generations interacting. Am I off base in saying that one of the biggest problems we face in our society is this generational divide that we don't seem to be able to work through?
I think so, Earl. Now, there have always been generational divides, right? So that's just a thing, you know, among us humans. What I think it's worse is if we think about our civic life. We did have previous generations that left it better for the next generation,
right?
Doesn't mean there weren't challenges or disagreements or open conflict, but it what we had for the first time in American history is couple generations that are leaving it worse in obvious ways.
And my generation is one.
We had very low cost college. We greatly increased dramatically the number of people who had access to college. The only people who were well connected or connected the money. And we built this large public education institutions, and into the 70s and early 80s, it was relatively affordable. And we had a lot of federal grants, Pell Grants, to make it affordable. Now we've withdrawn state and federal support, especially state support, and allowed universities to engage in the kind of hyperinflation you've seen in the healthcare industry. Those are the two areas where hyperinflation has been ongoing. And so the new generation is extremely anxious, right? They have to take on massive debt. And unlike before, you're not really guaranteed a good middle-class job, even if you get this degree, right, and you come out with huge amounts of debt. And so that's why there's so much frustration that Congress hasn't acted on it. President Biden, on his own, with clear authority, tried to cancel $10,000 to $20,000 of student debt, depending on your income level. And the U.S. Supreme Court, a political packed court, what they do, they changed the law, basically, and invalidated it. And the problem is young folks don't think of it that way. They don't think that President Biden tried to help them. They're just frustrated that the system won't respond to them.
Right.
And it actually leads people not to get mad at the Supreme Court. Some of them do, but a lot of them just to tune out and not engage the system. So that's just one example of the generational divide. I know I just said a lot, but I'll say climate change is another big one.
Yes.
And the young people understand mistakes, and current generations that still have most of the power, a lot of them are still profiting from it and refusing to see the stakes.
Let's do this. Let's go to CJ quickly. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning, Dr. Craig. Do you remember the show All in the Family?
Absolutely.
With Archie Bunker?
What about
one of the greatest shows? Well, we're not as racist and divided as your party, the Democrats, have to keep racism alive.
So, CJ,
apart.
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China and the conversation we were just having?
Well, okay, you were just talking about student debts. Your party has to have the government solve issues.
Well, CJ, thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, I don't want to get into that foolishness. The truth of the matter is we have to deal with all of these people vote or should be voting, Dr. Craig. And there's such a large swath of people in this nation that don't vote. And when you look at those breakdowns of the numbers again, we're not doing as good a job in getting Generation Zs and, excuse me, unfortunately, some millennials to buy into voting and how this impacts and will change their life in some way, shape, or form. You guys are out there knocking on doors every day trying to get them to buy into it. What do you think it's going to take to get them to buy into this system?
Well, before I answer that great question, Earl, let me make a little meaning with what CJ said. And as you and I say, we're sure CJ's a great guy, but he's reading some kind of doctrinaire information on the right. And that is, the younger generations are the most diverse in American history.
Right.
And they are the ones telling us that we need to change our approach to race and inclusion. And then, so the CJ is very much representing the older generations that said nothing to see here, right? So that reflects that generational conflict. I think that with young people and their engagement, it's not enough to tell them how dangerous the other side is. I mean, Donald Trump has called his enemies, including people like me and you,
vermin. Yeah, I know.
And said, we're the real enemy and the danger is from within, not from external countries and not from rivals in the world. And that he is going to take us on because we're trying to destroy America. That is exactly the kind of language that we've had with fascism, right, in the 20s that led to real death camps, okay, including the term vermin, which is to say that we're subhuman and therefore can be dealt with accordingly. But I would just say for young people that as much as that threat will motivate some of them are more focused on the fact that they don't have enough economic opportunity, that our democracy doesn't work, and we've got to make it work. So if President Biden can be reelected, Democrats need to be willing, that we need a majority that will get rid of the archaic filibuster and actually start addressing the country's problems, because people are going to walk away from democracy if it can't deliver anything for average people. It's in complete gridlock, and Congress does not work because it's structured not to work at this stage.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is, and we've got to face this, right? I mean, it's not enough to say that you have a commitment or a responsibility as an American citizen. You know, you have to vote. You must vote because democracy depends on you voting. Well, you know, people aren't looking at it from that perspective, Dr. Craig. If they're strapped with debt that they can't get out of, if their lives are on hold, If they wonder why and I can't get out of this, and then, as you stated, the government can't fix it, and somehow people are thinking that, and I'm speaking on behalf of young people, and I think Calvin can do a better job of it than I, but Calvin, the young generations that you are part of and see, are they spending a lot of time talking about whether it should be Joe Biden or Donald Trump? I don't think they are.
No, it's not something that it comes up in conversation with my friends a lot.
Dr. Craig, I mean, that's and so it's a tough sled for you and others, as you know that we've got to get them. When you look at their numbers, again, 72.4 million millennials, 72 million Generation Zs. That's almost 150 million people.
Right. And it's not as if none of them see the stakes and most of them won't vote. It only takes a small percentage in these close elections, like Wisconsin, right, and these battleground states, of drop off. So we're talking about matching the turnout of the people who are motivated by the same information CJ is getting,
right,
which will be supercharged by having a charismatic strongman leader like Donald Trump.
Dr. Craig, I hate to say it, but you called Donald Trump charismatic, I guess he is to some, right?
Unfortunately, for the other side, he is. We have to admit it.
I know.
Power, right? We have to understand that.
It's hard.
Unfortunately, it's hard to understand why strong men are charismatic, but they are for some people.
Right. Yeah. So
that's the situation.
Yeah, and you know, to continue to, how do you guys go about, Dr. Craig, motivating those Generation Z and millennials? Is it harder to reach them than it is, you know, the other generations?
It's harder, I think, not because there's anything wrong with these generations, but because the situation they face is harder.
Right.
That we had this run in American history where each generation did better than the previous, other than interruption during the Great Depression. And that turned into a huge period of prosperity and economic opportunity. You have to break it down. The media is so focused on other things, and there's so little attention to the complicated mechanism of government, and understandably, because it's not accessible, that a lot of young people do not realize that President Biden made historic investments in the climate crisis that will improve economic opportunity.
Dr. Craig, I want you to hold that thought. I want you to hold that thought, because I really want you to say that when we return. We got to pay some bills. Don't touch that dial. 844-967-2789. Dr. Craig is on the line.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's Christmas now. This is when we see all the angels dancing in the sky above. Just for us, it's Christmas Day. Something to believe in. I believe the love that we feel for each other is His gift to us. And nothing will keep us
apart. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm always honored to have my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, on the line. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I would just, one thing, if your guys were talking about the D. Alexander Show, last Saturday, I was there as well. That's an outstanding show.
Yeah,
I got tickets from you guys.
Yeah, it was a great show.
So, wish I would have known you were there. I would have said hi.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, my thing is basically messaging. The Democrats have always been horrible at messaging. Why don't we see more of them talking out of what we have done? Why, the college payments, paying off college
student
debt
loans,
and all that.
Right?
Student loans. So basically, the money that those people would have been spending, giving it back to the banks that really don't need money because we've given them enough money. That money then would be in turn circulating into the economy. Therefore, we would, that would be a big boost to the economy just for that. But again, with them not messaging. We're not, you're saying that the younger people don't know about any of this. Well, why not? Why are we not out there? Why are out there spreading this word of how, what he has done, what Biden
has Tom,
done for us?
You couldn't call that a better time, because that's what Dr. Craig and Citizen Action do, is canvassing. And Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
So, I mean, Tom has a right, is absolutely right, if you look at how unified and consistent Republican messages are, as opposed to what's coming from the loose coalition we call the Democratic Party. I think it is partly because the Democratic Party is less unified and has a much broader spread. In other words, of ideologies, the whole spectrum between Joe Manchin and Bernie Sanders, and everything in between. So that's part of the problem.
Right.
We need more agreement in order to message it better. And I come out of communications. I'm not one to understate the role of messaging. So not throwing water on Tom at all, but just adding the complexity of what we're trying to message. The other problem we have is the obvious non-performance of our representative government and the unresponsiveness of it to average people and the high responsiveness of it to the big corporate and special interests, the wealthy and the well-connected. And as a result, young people, we can explain, like Tom is explaining very well, how much of benefit there would be to canceling $10,000 to $20,000 of student debt and what a great equity impact it would have, because it would disproportionately affect lower income kids, middle income kids, and kids of color. It is that they're finished with excuses. They don't care to hear all about how Biden did it and then the right. Supreme Court changed the law and invalidated. They just say, I can't pay my bills. And so we've got to get Democrat government to start delivering, and we need to actually elect majorities that could do so. But to do so, we have to inspire enough people that it's possible to restore their faith. We have a crisis in faith right now. And it can't be all done with messaging, but it would really help if the Democratic Party could more clearly align on the things the next generation actually needs and commit to doing them, and then not give excuses later, not to say, but we have to keep the filibuster, which a handful of Democrats said or say, which simply allows about a quarter of the U.S. population to veto anything, which means government's unworkable.
Let's go back to phone lines. Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Good morning, Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, I have a couple questions. Number one, I find that we're a large party or a large tent. That's no excuse why we can't message. All these people need to do is go back and listen to some FDR tapes on YouTube. And if the Democrats were speaking like that, that would be wonderful. Number two, where is there a website, Dr. Craig, where we can see all of the different accomplishments of Joe Biden? Because that is not being communicated out. And honestly, it's something that for us people on the ground that go door to door and actually talk about these things, we should have a sheet or some type of bullet point thing where we can talk about all the great things that Joe Biden has done. Number three, and I'll wrap this up, is that what percentage of the people in the United States do you think even know that we have three branches of government? That even know that Congress, you know, the House and the Senate, and the balance of power, that they understand that concept? Because I think it's very low. I think they think that the president is kind of the authoritarian and he's the one that they all get out and vote for. But then when it comes to the other elections, they don't vote for, when those other things are probably more important than even the presidency.
Hey, Tom, all great questions, man. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig?
Very astute on both points. And I'll just say on information that the Biden administration has been an improvement, has been trying. It just doesn't get reported enough by the media. But WhiteHouse.gov actually has a lot of excellent material. So to that question, though, there needs to be more. We're working on, and others are, but there's more than there used to be. And so the second thing, though, that that he brought up is, and Earl, remind me how he put it in the second part of the question.
Well, you know, he kind of talked about the fact that the American people, many of our fellow countrymen, don't understand the inner workings of our government. They don't understand the three branches of government. You know, just not aware of how our government works.
In response to that question, which is on point, this is a kettle of worms.
So, Dr. Craig, you got to hold the thought. Dr. Craig, hold the thought, because, you know, I don't want you to get started and then we have to interrupt you. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, graces our airways once again. You can join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Senate's top Republican says he's hopeful but not optimistic that his party can find agreement with Democrats on middle-class tax cuts next year. Devin Lemahue says the state will likely have a $4 billion surplus to work with.
That's just hard-working people's money sitting in our coffers, earning interest at least. Interest rates are good, but you know it's important to give that money back to the taxpayers.
Lemahue spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Some Wisconsin Democrats want to amend the state's discrimination in housing law. A new bill would stop landlords, property owners, or agents from denying potential tenants who were evicted more than 5 years ago. The goal of the bill is to help fight Wisconsin's housing crisis. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Submissions are now being accepted for the Minnesota Department of Transportation's fourth annual Name a Snowplow contest. Community members can submit their clever names on the state DOT's website from now until noon on Friday, December 15th. Submissions must be no more than 30 characters, cannot contain profanity or inappropriate language, and each person may only make one submission. Previous winners include Hans Snowlow, Chloe McPlowface, and the truck formerly known as Plow. Proposed legislation would address college and university budget shortfalls, access, and affordability in Wisconsin. The Reaching Higher for Higher Education bill package would include a tuition freeze for the next academic year and the creation of a student success fund to support universities of Wisconsin campuses in rural and underserved communities. Officials say the additional $60 million in funding will help make up the deficit in the 2023-2025 budget. It would also increase state aid for technical colleges. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Badgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled away at the end and beat the Spartans at Michigan State, the final 70-57. A.J. Storr with 22 points, Stephen Crowell with 18, including this three-pointer to put it away.
Crowell left open again. He can't miss! Stephen Crowell!
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks went into high gear, dismissed the New York Knicks, 146-122. So now the Bucks advance in the NBA's first ever in-season tournament. They're going to face the Pacers in Las Vegas Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, 146 points. What's that say about this team, Malik Beasley?
That we can be really good. With a playoff mentality game, it shows that we can, like I said yesterday, you never know because it was only one game instead of four games. So I'm proud of us. We start punching hard, and we made them call the first time out in the second half, so that was huge.
That's the Bucks forward, Malik Beasley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 27. Mainly sunny tomorrow, 50. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 29.
Opt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Thank you.
yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Keep the Yuletide.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, before we went to break, Tom from L.A. Talked about several things, but he really wanted to talk a little bit about how he bet that a large portion of the American people don't understand three branches of government and really don't understand our government at all and how it works.
So I don't usually get into this because it's a huge kettle of worms, as I was saying before the break, Earl, but I know I can do that with you because you're such a capable host and voice. So the research, and there is overwhelming political science research, I can give people citations, is that most voters in every representative democracy, not just the United States, but including in the United States, and very deep research over 80 years since we've been doing social science in the United States, shows that most voters are not engaged in issues, do not make deliberative issue decisions about what is in their self-interest in order when they make electoral choices. And this is true in Western Europe. It's true in the Asian democracies as well. And so, but we have this folklore of democracy, and you hear it on television and radio all the time, Earl, where there's this assumption that people are making some policy decision.
Right.
They neither have the time nor the inclination or the information, most people, they live their lives to do so. As a result, they vote on big questions of what their identity is, who they perceive to be one of them and on their side, and who isn't. And the problem Biden's having is a lot of the side that would benefit from his policies doesn't necessarily see him as on their side and therefore is disengaged. There are some issues that can affect votes, and there are some voters who are looking at issues. So what Tom asked for about messaging and better information, that is relevant when you're talking to an extremely engaged voter, but that is a minority of voters. And so this is just the way representative democracy works, and that's why the right-wing division works very well. All the culture wars and the use of race and use of xenophobia and religion, that is all in order to cleave people off and make them identify based on identity. And that is what the way people mostly vote. So that's the uncomfortable truth. It's very hard for us because we're so committed to this kind of democratic ideal, but it's not how large-scale democracies do work or have ever worked here in the other functioning model that we know of among humans.
You know, Dr. Craig, the way you presented it, it almost makes it understandable why 50% of the American people don't vote. You know, they
and the ones who do don't really think about the implications of, say, a Scott Walker or Robin Voss or Donald Trump for their lives. That's not why they're voting.
You know, Donald Trump on yesterday was on Sean Hannity, and he said this. He said he will be a dictator for only one day. And Dr. Craig, he didn't say it tongue in cheek. Here's a man who said before the world, I am going to be a dictator. But then he turned around and said, well, and the rest of the time. But I don't, for the life of me, I will not ever understand that. that anybody could think that a guy who says, I'm going to be a dictator in a democracy, should be laughed out of any possibility or prospect, Dr. Craig, of ever securing the office of the presidency. But yet he can say that and still be, you know, overwhelmingly the Republican nominee and a 50-50 chance of becoming the president again. When we talk about people not understanding democracy and those kind of things, Dr. Craig, that's kind of part of it. And it does chime in to what you said about the fact that people don't vote based on these other things, these things that have nothing to do with democracy and any of those things or what they're voting for, popularity.
If someone has been convinced that refugees and immigrants from the global South, people who are black and brown, right, are a threat to them, and that's the major, should be the major focus, an allegedly open border, then they vote for Donald Trump on the notion that he represents and he is part of people like them. It's that simple. And they don't evaluate the depth of policy. Now, I think on dictatorship world, a couple of things going on. First of all, we live in an entertainment culture.
Right.
So I think they think it's just another streaming series, and it's not one of their favorites, right? It's like Succession or any of those, right? So you got that going on where it's not real. They haven't experienced it. In other words, we're doomed in many ways to repeat our mistakes as humans because we've lost that memory of people who actually have lived through it. And so making it clear and visceral, that is a huge messaging challenge. And in a way, it'll be much harder to get back. I mean, the kind of huge campaign at risk you have to take to restore democracy is much higher than preventing it from being lost in the first place. But I'll give you an example. We, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, are part of a national federation of groups like us called People's Action, and our executive director, who I've been seeing all week here out in Phoenix, Soma Arias, came from El Salvador as an unaccompanied minor. That took tremendous courage, and she has lived in authoritarian government and knows its consequences and therefore is extremely eloquent about the threat. But we don't have enough people who have experienced it and know how terrible it is and therefore will do anything to avoid it. Fortunately, we have some folks like Soma leading us who actually have experience, they can convey that, but we need to land that with more people, but we also need to give them hope and faith that our government, our democracy can deliver for them. It can't just be the threat of Donald Trump, but he has a battle. He's laid out his plans, and there's a Heritage Foundation led project, a 2025 project that has laid out these plans for essentially ending democracy. And this has been well covered, and Trump's been talking about it in his speeches, including using the full force of the Department of Justice and police and the military and to go after all of his perceived opponents, Earl, which probably includes both you and I. So we're part of what he calls vermin, which is, you know, Mussolini, Hitler kind of language. It really is. Look it up. This is not hyperbole, and this is all in clear and present and open, and it's still not getting through. That tells you how messed up our democracy is and how much people just don't believe anything they hear with all the disinformation. All the disinformation, Earl, has made people not believe the real information. Too many people, not everyone.
Well, so let's kind of move on, as difficult as it is to move on from Donald Trump and his escapades. Act 10. You remember Act 10, right? You remember the battle in Madison.
Big damage to middle class in Wisconsin that's ongoing and not talked about enough.
And so Act 10 is being brought up, and there is a possibility with the state Supreme Court now, you know, having a majority left court, it's safe to say, that there's a possibility that there might be some change on that horizon. I think those of us who remember it and the battle that went on would have never, ever thought that there'd ever be a possibility that that can be overturned. What are your thoughts?
Well, Scott Walker and the Republicans, the conservatives are very clear on power, and they're clear how to get rid of or undermine the power of their opponents, which is what we're going to see if Trump is reelected. And so they went after organized labor and removed what is in the UN Charter, which the United States had the predominant role in authoring after World War II, a fundamental right, the right to free association. And so what that did was it caused a race to the bottom, where wages are lower and therefore prosperity is lower and people have less money in their pockets, not only to get by, but to spend in their own communities, which produces more jobs and more prosperity and opportunity. So they did that just in order to save some money they could give away to big corporations through massive tax cuts that are still on the books. And I heard on your break that Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, wants still more tax cuts. They won't be finished until all of our public resources go to the people who are already wealthy and well off and getting most of the benefits of our economic growth.
Well, he's already under attack. He's already under attack from his colleagues. But go ahead.
Good. Well, I hope they can't get together, because Governor Evers has been very bad at understanding that we need to capture more revenue from very wealthy people to fund public education, to fund mental health, to fund childcare, all the things that were criminally underfunded in this last budget. So with Act 10, because Scott Walker was the most political figure you can imagine, Act 10 is much more legally vulnerable than other attacks in other states on public employees, because he put it together in a discriminatory way. He didn't include
police and fire. Police and fire.
Republican.
Right.
And that is a direct violation of equal protection. And it's always been vulnerable. They had to hold the Supreme Court to keep this legal. So because Scott Walker wanted to have something where it would be much more divisive if it included police and fire, he would have a lot of trouble passing it. That's what happened in Ohio. Because John Rick Kasich followed constitutional norms and included all public employees, and it got overturned in Ohio, not here. So there's a huge opportunity here to restore fundamental right. And actually, since our minimum wage is still $7 and something an hour, which is absurd, that to actually create organized worker power that can balance the power of corporations to pay as little as they can get away with. And so that is huge. But I'm a little concerned, Earl, that Janet Protasiewicz is floating the idea she would recuse herself, since the right-wing justices recuse themselves on nothing. I do not, and certainly she hadn't seen this case. That would be unfathomable to me. And that would be a judge trying to look neutral procedurally, but actually allowing a great injustice to stay on the books. I do not understand why she's even considering recusing herself on this.
Dr. Craig, hold that thought. 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You two can join in the conversation. Don't touch that dial.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Greenfield, RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, it is perplexing to me that Justice Protasiewicz would even consider recusing herself on this issue. And again, what would be the reason?
She, according to media reports, I haven't scrutinized what she said closely. She declared at some point she thought it was unconstitutional. So that, in other words, she hasn't just expressed her values.
To overturn Act 10? Unconstitutional to overturn Act 10 or what? Unconstitutional.
No, it's unconstitutional. Act 10 is unconstitutional.
Okay.
But that means she allegedly showed prejudgment. That would be the justification for recusal. The problem is, come on, we have democratically elected judges. How can people vote? We talked about people not voting on issues if they don't know where judges stand. It's an absurd proposition there is. And by the way, it is up to the justice. The right got away with murder. The right-wing judges ruled on cases involving people who spent millions of dollars on their behalf and decided it was legal unilaterally. So this is where, when you see fascism and authoritarianism rising, and Act 10 is part of that, you see when we fail to stop it, it's because the people who defend democracy or the existing democratic structure refuse to step up and do what's necessary to challenge it. And if she recuses herself, this is the example of being caught up on some sort of procedure and not doing what's necessary to restore fundamental rights. How dare she consider, because it'll be a 3-3 tie then, allowing all of the public employees in Wisconsin to continue to go for another God knows how long period of time, go without fundamental human rights.
You know, Dr. Craig, I just can't even envision that, because she would be doing this or taking that position because she would be concerned that she would be showing favoritism by people on the right. It clearly, all the money that was spent to seat her from people on the left, they don't expect someone who's going to say, well, I'm going to not anger people, so I'm going to play it down the middle. I don't think anybody expected that. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah.
Well, especially
and
Dr. Craig,
like
after
when Merrick Garland held up investigating Donald Trump after clear on television insurrection, because he had too afraid to do so and was shamed into doing it later by the January 6th committee. But now it's so late that Donald Trump can be elected and pardon himself before he is actually held accountable for his what calling clear and present day here was the commission of many crimes.
So I think it would be, considering these are what, 10-year intervals once you're on the court?
Right.
Okay, so.
And the next judge up is a progressive judge, Ann Walsh Bradley, so there's not another pickup. So she would be recused for the next 10 years, and it's going to be years before there could even be the possibility of another judge who would read the Constitution fairly. And so, the generous view is that this is her view of recusal, and she thinks he needed to. The ungenerous view would be that she's giving in to all the attacks by the right that she should have recused herself, which is absurd, on redistricting, and therefore, if she does this one, it makes her look fair to a group of people who are not fair-minded and are just attacking her in order to get a political outcome and cannot be appeased.
You know, Dr. Craig, and then when you look at what has transpired with the control of the state Supreme Court by the right, all of the different things, right to work and all of these other things that came out of that Supreme Court that took away and penalized average citizens, it is shameful to think that, she would be willing to play this right down the middle. We've 15 years we've had to put up with this onslaught from the right, who didn't care about the middle and didn't care about any balance. To have a person now come in and say we want to kind of do it right down the middle, it's not what people want. It's just not.
Yeah, and they shredded procedures, shredded the law, shredded all of existing norms just to implement political conclusions, including the one I've mentioned before to you, Earl, that what Scott Walker did, coordinating with millionaires to fend off recall in the recall election after Act 10, was a clear violation of a huge one, like criminal one, of existing Wisconsin campaign finance law. I would have thought if I ever did that, I would go to jail, honestly. And anyone I've talked to who does politics thought the same thing. The Supreme Court jumped in ahead of the lower courts, expedited the case, and simply changed the law to keep to get Scott Walker out of trouble. That is what we're facing on the other side. And then we have Danette Protasiewicz hemming and hawing on whether she can decide an important constitutional case on workers' rights.
Hey, Dr. Craig, as always, great stuff. Man, how long are you going to be out in paradise?
Well, I am going to actually stay after this conference and do some hiking. I've never done desert hiking, so I give away a lot of vacation time at the end of every year, so I'm going to use a little of it now when I'm out here. It was 80 degrees yesterday, Earl.
Dr. Craig, how dare you? We'll talk in a week, my friend.
Thank you.
Always great having you on. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, as always. Up next, Jane Mattner, As Goes Wisconsin, along with Greg.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. All right. We'll be back.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.